Hello and welcome to a brand new series of Grown Up Girls, the Motherhood Edition podcast. I am so excited to bring a new series 3 of the podcast with some incredible guests that you'll hear shortly. The Motherhood Edition is focused on chatting with other mums all about, well, motherhood. We'll be chatting all things birth, pregnancy, routine, nappies, weaning, careers, and so, so much more. I really hope you're able to listen to today's episode with a nice hot cup of tea and some biscuits, and maybe even a sleeping baby beside you. Or maybe you are in a car on a journey and you finally have an hour's peace. Wherever you are listening to the podcast today, I really hope that you can relax and enjoy, but I will warn you that in some of these episodes, there can be some light swearing, so please be aware when listening with little ears nearby. Enjoy! I'm so proud to say that this podcast is sponsored by Baby Bjorn. Now, if you are pregnant or you are a mum, you will have most likely heard of Baby Bjorn, as they are a Swedish baby product company that have been loved for generations. If you follow me on socials, you will know that we have done quite a lot of travelling with Stanley in his first year, and the product that has changed the game for me travelling as a mum was the Baby Bjorn Travel Cot Lite. I was lucky enough to work with them on a campaign to try the product, and it is now a non-negotiable that I will not travel without. I always like taking my own travel cot to places because, you know, when you turn up to hotels, Airbnbs, friends' houses, you never quite know what the sleeping situation is going to be like, and it gives me so much peace of mind knowing that Stanley is safely sleeping in his cot. I know it's clean, he's also familiar with it, so it always guarantees a good night's sleep. Unlike traditional travel cots, the travel cot light pops up so easily with just a little light push, but it's also really sturdy and comfortable. I love the fact it's compact, only takes up a small space in the car, which is always a bonus when travelling with little ones, as the car is always round with everything but the kitchen sink. Thank you, Baby Bjorn, for sponsoring this podcast, and thank you for helping this mama get stuff done. Hello and welcome back to the Grown Up Girls, the Motherhood Edition podcast. So today we have Sophie. Hello, Sophie, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. So Sophie is a mum to Saxon, and she is also quite big on TikTok called The Renovating Mama. Is that your TikTok handle?
That is renovating.mama.
Renovating.mama. So we thought we'd just have a little chat today all about motherhood, about renovating, about our births, and just everything really. So yeah. Yeah, good old mum chat. Every mum loves a good chat. So I just wanted to ask you first, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm good actually. Do you know what? I was going into town and I was going into a coffee shop, and I was just really nicely greeted by old friends, and I was super nervous. I don't know why, because I don't really go out as much as I used to, and I was just like nervous for the interactions I was going to have, but it was lovely, and I just thought, yeah, today's been a good day. I've had a much needed conversations.
Good, and the sunshine's out, which is always good.
I literally thrive on sun. I swear, I do get like depressed in the winter, I'm not gonna lie. It does me no good.
I did see your TikTok the other day about wanting to move abroad, and I was like, relatable. Yes.
100%. If I could, I would. I just think the sun, I just feel so happy in the sun. The wind is just really blowing for me.
Definitely. So who's got Saxon now?
Rem. Rem has come home, and he's got Saxon. And that's why I've come here, because I was just like, I know what will happen. I'll lock myself in a room, and then I'll have Sax crying at the door. And not for me. I was really looking forward to it. I was like, Rem, can you come home? So I really just want to go out and just like have an hour of peace.
Yeah, it is lovely. I must admit, my mum's got Stanley today, and I've done another podcast recording earlier, sitting here doing some work. I made myself some lunch. I'm just like, oh, this is what I used to do. Like, how nice and easy was this?
It's lovely.
So I just wanted to get into the first question, which was, how was your childhood?
I had a very good childhood. So I moved up here when I was about four, I think around four. We're from Bromley, Kent. And then my parents just made the decision to move us up to the countryside. I'm close with my brother and my sister. And from what I can remember, which isn't much, I don't know if that's just a normal thing. Like, you look back and like, I don't really remember much, but I remember just being happy. I was like the baby of the family. So yeah, I kind of got special treatment, I guess, and some, I don't know, I just felt like I had a lovely childhood. Really lovely childhood.
Good. And did you always want to become a mum?
always wanted to become a mum. And, you know, people would ask me, and I remember it at school. I don't know what year I was in, but I remember somebody asking me, what do I want to do when I'm older? And I just wanted to be a mum. And that was always my response, was I just want to be a mum. I really felt like it was my purpose. I didn't have any other goals necessarily. Like, it wasn't, yeah, I've never been someone who's career driven, I guess. But just being a mum, I just thought if I don't become a mum, I would have been absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
That was the one thing, yeah, just to become a mummy.
Yeah, I was exactly the same. Like, you know, you used to have those things at school, like career talks. I would be like, what do you want to do? And people would be like, I want to be a lawyer or an actress or this. And I'd just be like, I just want to be a mum.
Just want to be a mum. Yeah. And I love it. And I just think it is, I don't necessarily agree when people say, oh, it's a job. Do you know, because people do go, oh, yeah, but that's a job. Or like being a mum, well, it's a full-time job. And it is, but like, it's not. I don't, yeah, it's not. It doesn't feel like a job.
I agree. And I think it's the best thing you can ever do. So I don't know, when you go to a job, you just never get that sense of achievement and fulfillment or anything.
Sure,
do you?
I have a purpose.
Yeah.
And I needed to have a purpose. I think being someone who, like, I'm not very academic, I don't have very good GCSEs, I never really had any hobbies. So like now I'm a mum, I feel like I have this purpose and it is really, really fulfilling. Yeah,
definitely. So you've got a little Saxon who is, he's just over one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's coming up to 14 months. And like, I always say now, like, the month he is. And before I had him, I used to be like, why do people say months? Like, just say he's one. But he's not, he's 14 months.
Every single time. Because when you say that, what is so funny, I used to be the same. I used to be, I don't get why people do that. It's so annoying. Yeah, especially because I'm rubbish at maths. I hate counting the months. Yeah. But when they are just over one, or when, you know, when Stanley's going to be just over one, it just won't feel right to say he's one, because he's not just one. Like, one can be so different.
For sure. And I, like, each month I feel like he learns something new, or within a space of a day he's gone from like crawling to walking or pointing or saying certain words. And just every month, I guess maybe more so at this age between one and two, I find there's just so much change from day to day, week to week.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's 14 months.
Oh, so when you, how long have you been with Remy for?
3 years this year.
So did you make the decision quite quickly that when you sort of met each other, were you like, we really want to have a family?
So when Rem and I met each other, he did not want kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did not. He's, well, so when I met him, he was like 33. I don't know if that maths is right, but he didn't want kids. And we actually split up about, it wasn't even that far in, maybe like 5 months in, I was just like, do you know what? This isn't going to work. If you don't want kids, then I can't be with you. Like, it's just, yeah, that's my goal, really, is to become a mum. And I think, what was I, 23? And I knew I wanted kids young. So we split up and then got back together about 4 days later. And then, yeah, Ren was just like, do you know what? Fuck it, let's try. And then, yeah, we fell pregnant with Saxon. So, yeah, we weren't on the same path, but we are now. He wasn't forced into having kids. He made that decision himself.
Yeah, of course.
It's a good decision made. He's such an incredible dad.
Can you even imagine now, like, him not being a dad, now that you see
him? No, and I always knew he'd be a good dad because he's so playful. And I remember just, like, watching him with these, my friend's kids, and I just think, you're going to be such a good dad. But he was so adamant. I think because he really believed it changes your life, but for the worst. Mm. Like, you lose yourself to parenthood, you don't have a life, you can't do anything. And he so strongly believed that. And I think it took one of his friends to fall pregnant to realise actually it doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah. I think that's it. For some people it does. I know that particularly with Dale, my husband, he had a few friends which, you know, their parenthood journey didn't go as what they thought
for sure.
It would.
Yeah.
And it definitely freaked him out. He was like, I don't think, you know, we're not ready for this. And but yeah. Everyone's parenthood journey is so different. You cannot compare to one person to the next. And the babies are so different, aren't they? Like, some babies are easy, some babies are really hard work. And
and there have been times where I've, you know, said to Rem, I was like, we're lucky with Saxon, he's pretty chilled as it goes. But, you know, there's been times where either, not that he's been playing up, but you know what I mean. And
mm-hmm.
we've struggled to parent in that situation, and we've got through it. And I think I can see how this can be really hard on two people, because as much as it is life-changing, but we try and deal with it as relaxed and as zen as possible, and try and make everything a bit of a joke, because otherwise it can just knock you down. But
best way. Does he sleep well?
Sax slept well for like the first 7 months, and we were those people who were like, oh, he sleeps through the night, and then we were just like hit with this storm, and then he was up like 3 times a night, and now over the last month he's sleeping through. But it has been a pretty much a roller coaster. There was a point where he would go down, be up 4 or 5 times in the night, get up at 4:30 and be wide awake, and then yeah. But I'm all into the leaps, so I just blame it on a leap.
It's a leap.
It's a leap. Yeah. He sleeps good now. He sleeps good now.
I but did put in my 11 months of motherhood, which isn't very long, I do swear that sleep is the thing that can either make or break you.
Sure.
I think when they don't sleep very well, or they're having, you know, odd times, that's when things get really, really, really hard on your relationship, on everything, your job, your mental health, everything. I think when they sleep, that's when things are good.
For sure. And like, he got up this morning at about 6:30. And Rem said, this is nice. He's got up at 6:30 and we're playing and it's great. It's the mornings that he gets up at 4:45 and he's playing and we're like, not interested. Like, yeah, please go back to bed, boy. But yeah, we just get up with him and switch the telly on, to be quite honest.
Telly is life at that time in the morning. So how was your birth?
Not the picture perfect birth that I truly believed it would be. I planned to have a home birth, and I hate to say this word, but I manifested it, this home birth, for 9 months. And when I knew that I wanted kids, I knew that I wanted a home birth. For some reason, it just felt right. And a lot of the mumfluencers I was following had these incredible home births, and they were super powerful, and I wanted it really badly. So it didn't end up happening. I ended up having a C-section. I labored for 3 days. I think it was like 58 hours I was in labor, and he was just stuck. Like, I got to 10 centimeters dilated, I was pushing, they could see his head, but he was just crooked. And that led to having a C-section. So birth really wasn't how I expected it to be. And I think I built myself up, or I put myself on this pedestal that was, looking back, kind of, I set myself up to fail a little bit. Because I really, truly, I would put money on it that I was going to have this home birth.
Yeah.
But yeah, that did not work out.
I can relate to that in so many ways. I think we had very similar situations. Yeah. And that when you have sort of manifest, or you think you've manifested it in your mind, and you're so certain that you are going to have a natural birth, and it's something you want so desperately, and then it ends in a C-section. I don't know about you, but there is that bit of a disappointment that you just think, I didn't do it.
Like, in my heart, like, it's been a year now, and I can say that I have massively healed from it. I think thinking about having another child has healed a lot of the pain, but a part of me will always be a little bit broken. Mm-hmm. I will never truly heal mentally from birth. I guess as a woman, you kind of expect yourself to be able to do it, because, and I hate that I used to say this, but I used to say it all the time, women are built to birth. I was that kind of girl. Women are built to birth. Our bodies are meant to do this. And I guess it's been the best reality check I could have, because life is not that easy. It wasn't great, to be honest.
Did you ever have a birth reflections talk?
I did, and I really regret it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I wasn't, because they really do tell you everything. I think it's great to speak about it, and I think it's great to do it. You know, if you really feel like you need questions answered, then obviously I recommend having it done. I just feel like for me, they told me things that I felt like I didn't need to know. For example, they told me that he could have come straight onto my chest, but he didn't. He was taken off, I think it was for about 15 minutes, which felt like the longest 15 minutes in the world when your baby's screaming. And I kind of felt like I missed that moment with Rem. And yeah, so he could have come straight onto my chest, but they were taken away, or he was taken away to be cleaned. The umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. That was also very normal, but I didn't feel like I didn't need to know that. It was one of my biggest fears throughout pregnancy, was that the cord was wrapped around his neck. So mm-hmm. to be told that it was just like, I just wish I never knew that.
Yeah.
There was lots of things that she said where I came out and I didn't feel healed. If anything, I came out and thought, you know what, I've got to get over this myself. And in a way that helped, because it didn't give me the answers that I wanted. If anything, it made me question certain things, you know, but.
Yeah, I think they're definitely helpful for some people, but I can see why you feel the way that you did after. I personally never had one, and a couple of my friends have, and they said, you should go and get one. Because I just think when you're in the haze of birth, you don't really know what's going on all the time, especially with a C-section. You're up here and everyone's down there, and it is just a bit chaotic. Even if it's not an emergency, there's definitely a chaotic feel about it. And I just thought, similar, I just thought, I don't actually know if I want to know what went on.
Yeah, and like you said, my C-section wasn't traumatic in itself. It didn't feel like an emergency. It was all very chilled.
Mm-hmm.
The trauma for me is the mental trauma with myself, not with my birth.
Yeah.
So maybe I didn't need questions, or maybe I didn't need things to be answered, because it wasn't the C-section that I was necessarily upset about. So I'm not sure.
Us C-section mamas, we are strong, and it is hard. I think every one of us, well, not every one of us, I think some people do choose that to be their birth, and they've got every right to do that. And I see why. I do see why.
Yeah.
But for those of us that didn't want that and have had it, it can take some time to process. Definitely. For sure.
There was one comment I remember posting on TikTok actually about my C-section. I was really upset. I think I was actually crying in the video, just about how it made me feel. And there was one comment from another mum who said, you should just be happy that they're here. When I had my C-section, all I really thought about was, oh, thank God that they're here, and they didn't care about what they'd gone through, and I should just generally be happy. But I can't express how important birth was to me. As someone who always wanted to be a mum, what came with that, with this, was this feeling of, you know, I was excited about giving birth. And I'm excited to give birth again. I know that might sound really crazy, but I really do love the whole experience of pregnancy and birth. Ideally, I'd love to be a midwife. Like, I could talk about this stuff all day. Yeah, so it was just a huge thing for me. And I really felt for so long that I'd failed, which I didn't.
No, you definitely didn't. I had a comment very similar. Somebody actually said to me, oh, because we were kind of in the thing of, do we need a section, do we not? And it was a family member actually said to me, you're such a strong girl, you can push this baby out, you don't need a C-section. And I was like, I'm trying.
Yes.
I've been trying for like 3 days to push this baby out, and it's not coming. So
Yeah, it's a big decision to make.
Yeah. So just going back to you talking about other babies, is it in your future plans?
For sure. It's difficult because of the whole like age gap. And I watched a video, funny enough, on TikTok the other day, and it was a mum saying about how difficult it actually is having small age, or like not as big of an age gap between two kids. And that kind of made me have a little bit of a reality check. You just don't know what the right thing to do is. Like, everyone's experience is so different. There are moments like today, we went to a coffee shop and Saxon was just running riot. And in my head, I thought, how would I deal in this moment with, you know, who would be nearly a 2.5-year-old and a newborn? Like, would I even leave the house? So as much as it's on the cards, I would say within the next year or two, Yeah, I'm not sure what the right thing to do with an age gap. I'd like them close together, so
You've
that's
got to
one
think
thing.
though, even if you got pregnant now, you've got another 9 months. Saxon be
Yeah,
another
that
9 months
is
older.
yeah, I think that is something I forget, is that he'll also be 9 months older.
Exactly. And that's a big difference in their age. It's not like our age. Like, it's a huge developmental switch for them.
And he'd be able to understand a lot more, but
No,
it
it is
is
hard.
definitely.
The age gap chat is hard, and I feel like there's been a lot of it over TikTok the last few weeks about like people saying the pros and cons of a bigger age gap and a younger age gap. But honestly, think you've just got to do what works for you and your
Sure. And I think
family.
even with me as well, like, as much as I hate to say get it over and done with, because that sounds horrible, but there is a part of me that would like to maybe start a business or have a career of some sort. And I'm trying to think of like when they'd go to school and how old I'd be and what I might be able to pursue. So it's also taking me into account just as much as it would be them.
Definitely. You've got to think practically, especially in this world with the cost of living and everything. Like, we can't just it's not the same generation as it used to be. We can't just keep, churning out babies and just staying at home. Like, it doesn't work like that anymore. Women have to work, and you have to think practically.
For sure. For
Yeah.
sure.
But anyway, going on to that, obviously your TikTok following, you've done really well with that. You've grown it so quickly.
Yeah, it grew really quickly, and then I took a little step back, and now it's kind of mellowed out a bit. But I'm very much looking forward. I want to get to 100K by May. I don't know how I'm going to do that, but
Oh, you will, you will. So
yeah.
what made you start it? How did you just think, let's just do it?
Yeah, so it was lockdown. I think most people started in lockdown. That's when TikTok really grew. And I've always wanted to start a YouTube channel. I'm like one of these people, I think most people have. Like, it's always a dream to start a YouTube channel. And I've just never had the confidence to do it. I can't even tell you how many videos I've probably recorded to put on YouTube and edited them and everything. And then last minute, I'm like, no, I can't do it. It's just, yeah, this nervous thing that I have. So when TikTok came around, it felt like YouTube, but just way more relaxed. So I was able to talk to people in these quick 30-second videos, get like the likes and the comments and talk to people, but I wasn't putting myself on YouTube and having to sit and edit videos that were 40 minutes long. So that's really where it started. Yeah, it was about 2 years ago.
Amazing. So your following's grown, you're doing well, and with success always comes a little bit of negativity.
Sure.
How have you coped with that? Because I know some of the comments you get can be awful.
Yeah, I always feel like anything I post is pretty chill. I can't say I post things that are necessarily offensive or would rile anyone up, but everyone has an opinion, and I think being online, people are more willing to share it, and they can do so behind an anonymous account. And it does just give people this freedom to say what they want. At first, I really didn't deal with it very well. I'm not someone, I don't really like getting into any sort of arguments or conflict. And one comment, or I'm the kind of person where like one comment would really, really get me down. Even if it was just something so stupid, I would think about it all day. I would get upset. I wouldn't really speak to Rem. Like, it would full on take over me. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do this because I can't deal with this kind of ne negativity. And honestly, it could be, I remember a video once and I was just talking to, the guys who follow me, and I was just saying about how my day was going and what I was getting up to. And then one of the comments was just like, if I had your son's name, I'd kill myself. Why would you call your son that? And I know, and I just remember, just I was sitting in the toilet and I just started bawling my eyes out because like that's my baby.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what was the need? There's just no need. But people will, you can't. I think when you put yourself online, you're opening a door to being trolled, to being bullied, and the one thing I've had to do is accept it. And just realize that, you've just got to block, delete, and ignore. The internet
Definitely.
is a nasty place.
Yeah, it really can. It can be a complete breeding ground for absolute
For sure,
arseholes.
for sure. And sometimes I see, I'll see videos, or I'm just scrolling and I'll look at the comments and I just think, how the hell do people deal with that kind of abuse every single day? It's just, yeah. And I've had to question if it's for me, and I still do, because I just think, like, it's horrible.
And I think especially when you're in quite a vulnerable stage in your life when you first started it, being postpartum, I mean, I don't think I really realised how much your hormones are flying around your body up to a year postpartum. So you're in a quite a vulnerable state anyway, really. And then if someone's saying something like that about your baby, I can imagine it just takes hold of you.
Yeah, and sometimes I felt like, because you only really show the good things. As much as I tried to show, or I still try to show, is the negatives about motherhood just as much as the positives. Sometimes I worried that maybe I was making my life look too good. And then I would feel guilty because I thought, you know, these people are saying really horrible things, but what was if they knew actually how fucking much I was struggling? But you can't say that, because then you're kind of opening a door to someone, you know, like getting a hold of that and dragging you down even further. Yeah, it's yeah, it can be such a toxic place, but my God, you just have to just put your big girl panties on. That's what my mum says.
Yeah.
Big girl panties are on.
Did your mum follow you or any of your family?
Yeah, she does. She does. She I used to hide TikTok. It sounds really silly, but I was embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. And when, like, I remember my brother once sending me a video that I'd put up, and this was like honestly one of my first videos, and it was about Remy when we were just started seeing each other, and I was just going on some tangent about him, and I remember him sending it to me, and I just felt so embarrassed that he'd found it, and I deleted everything. So I had, yeah, I was doing well, and I just remember thinking, right, I'm deleting every single video, I'm never doing this again. And then I was like, do you know what, I miss it. So now, obviously, I, like, my mum knows and she follows me, and like sometimes she'll comment on my videos, and I just think you've just got to accept it. Like, I don't feel that I have that big of a, like, in comparison to other people, I'm still very small. They're about like 70,000, which,
that's a lot. Think about 70,000 people in a room.
And it came so quickly, because I remember uploading a video of me cleaning with this like Spanish song in the background, and it got 6 million views. And I wasn't even, like, TikTok is weird. So from that, I instantly got 10,000 followers. And I remember thinking, like, how random is that?
It really is amazing. It's such a platform. And I think you're absolutely brilliant on there. You're so entertaining. Like, I love when I see your videos. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch Sophie. What's she up to?
Yeah, I need to post more. I promise myself that when we move, I'm going to get back on it and do it properly. I think, yeah, you have to build the amount of girls that I've met through TikTok and speak to, even girls that I've actually met up with, you, like, girls that I've actually met up with in person, and our kids are friends. It has brought me so much comfort.
Yeah.
And there was a point on there where I was talking about kind of porn and like how toxic it is in relationships, and this was years ago. And I remember just from that, my inboxes would just be full of girls being like, please, can I talk to you about this because of what's happening in my life? And through that, I made friendships and felt like I'd comforted people. And I even then felt normal with how I was feeling. It can be, as much as it's negative in so many ways, there are beautiful parts of it where actually you do get to meet and connect.
Definitely. You know? So just going back to your birth, sorry, I just want to talk a little bit more about emotional feelings and how did you feel when you first met Saxon?
How did I feel when I first met Saxon? Firstly, I knew he was, so I didn't find out the gender, or I didn't find out his gender, but I always knew, as much as people say you didn't know, but I did, I knew he was a boy. Mm-hmm. So when they called him up and they said, oh, he's a boy, in my head, I just thought, like, well, I knew he was a boy all along, so it wasn't this huge surprise. So I already really felt like I knew him. I don't remember this there being this overwhelming feeling of love, if I'm honest, but I just remember feeling so protective over him, which I guess in itself is love. But I just didn't want to let him, I didn't want to put him down. I just wanted to keep him in my arms, and I just kept looking at him. And what time did I think I got to the hospital? So I'd been awake for about 2.5 days. Got to the hospital, had him at 3:03, and then I stayed awake with him in my arms till 9 o'clock that night. And I remember the midwife coming in being like, you just need to put him down in his crib. And I just, you know, you can't sleep with him in your arms. And I remember thinking, well, I'm not putting him in there, so I will stay awake. And I stayed awake the whole night and just looked at him. Yeah, oh, God.
Nothing yeah. beats that feeling, does it?
Nothing beats that feeling, no. And I was saying the other day, like, just your first baby is just mad.
Mm-hmm.
Just so mad. And yeah, just, oh, he was just such the cutest little boy.
I think I saw that the other day about when you said about how you're jealous of when people have that experience for the first time. And I
that brought up a lot of negative comments. Have you seen that?
Did it? No, yes. I didn't see it, but right. I think I remember just seeing it. And I remember a couple of days later, I met with a friend who's pregnant, and they were like, "Oh, we've just been pram shopping," and I was like, "Oh,
yeah." And it's like people were saying, like, "Oh, how can you get excited over pram shopping?" That was like the least of my worries. I remember my pram. I thought I was like buying my first car.
Yeah,
I was all over the pram shopping. I loved it.
Same, but I think that's so nice. Like, I feel like so many people try and shame people for that now. Like, yeah. Oh, it's not that much of a big deal. Well, it is. Like, if that's something you've wanted your whole life, like, going pram shopping is just like a little dream that it's just...
Sure, for sure. Yeah. And I think with that video, obviously, I was talking so positively about pregnancy. And I've got to say, I was lucky. My pregnancy was pretty chilled. I loved being pregnant. And as someone who doesn't have a lot of confidence, I felt beautiful. And I can honestly say being pregnant felt right. However, like with the video, you know, I realized just how crappy it can be for so many women. And I guess I'm lucky in that situation, but it isn't the same for everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just have a little bit of reality check being like, Christ, some people have it really tough.
Yeah, they do. It is true. I always say I love being pregnant. And my mum, who was sick, was like, "Oh, I hated it." My sister and I was like, "Oh, I hated it because they were all sick." And I was like, "Oh, I loved it." Oh, amazing. So we're just getting to the end of the podcast now. But one thing I just wanted to ask you before we go, what would you tell your newly, freshly postpartum self now that you're sort of stepped back and you're 14 months in?
Yeah. I would tell her that time heals.
Mm-hmm.
As much as that may sound so cliche, the way I feel now to the way I felt those few days after labour, I honestly feel like a different person, but wiser. And I just give her a big hug and tell her to take each day as it comes and to cry as much as I wanted and to not feel shamed for that.
Mm-hmm.
Let it out.
Yeah, definitely let it out.
Allow yourself that time.
Oh, good. And what would you tell another postpartum woman who might be listening to this, struggling, thinking, God, I don't know how I'm going to get through this? Because let's be honest, we all have them days at the start. What would you say to her?
Don't be afraid to ask for help. Mm-hmm. And don't set yourself up like I did on this huge pedestal that everything was going to be beautiful and everything was going to be dandy, because those postpartum days can feel really tough. If that's breastfeeding and you need to take a step back and, you know, use formula to help you get through mentally, or, you know, whatever it might be, allow yourself that and don't feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
That was, yeah, looking back, I ended up, you know, Sax was on formula from 4 months, I think, because I needed that time to heal. And I felt really guilty. But looking back, I think it saved me a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd say. Whatever it is that you need, like, the mum is so important. And if there was someone here now that was struggling, I would want her to know that as much as the baby is important, so is she.
Mm-hmm.
Just as much, if not more, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. Great advice. I love it. Definitely about the formula one. I feel like that needs a little bit more emphasis sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually did a video on it the other day and I deleted it because I felt like it was just maybe a little bit too soon for me to be talking about it, in the sense that I've been feeling guilty a lot recently for Sax being on formula. I don't know why, because there was a point where I didn't really care. I think now that I want to have another baby and I'm so excited to breastfeed again,
mm-hmm.
and to try again, I'm like, with that is coming this guilt of being like, I should have done more for him. I should have got through those long days, and I should not have, you know, used formula as a saving grace for me, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. And I, you know, I was this breast is best mum. I just, there's just been a lot of learning, a lot, you know, many reality checks for me in motherhood. Like, formula isn't the devil that I thought it was. If anything,
no,
it helped me a lot. And he is a thriving little boy. So if a mum is struggling with breastfeeding and they are thinking about going on formula, do not beat yourself up. Just allow yourself that it's okay. The baby will be fine.
Motherhood humbles you very, very quickly, doesn't it?
You know what someone said, I think it was my sister-in-law, she said, you are the perfect parent before you become a parent. And I can't shout that enough because that was me all over. I was this, not stuck up, but I generally felt like I knew everything about parenthood, everything about motherhood, no TV time, no formula, this, that. And now here I am, loving Peppa Pig. We have formula in the house. And like, you know what? It's not as perfect as maybe I thought it was going to be. But there's a lot of comfort in that, you know, to take that weight and pressure off your shoulders.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. Thank you so, so much for coming on the podcast. It's been so good to chat to you. I feel like we could literally be on here forever. So we'll definitely have to meet up and have a coffee.
We should, for sure.
Thank you so much, Sophie.
No problems.
Bye.